chapter 56. I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. And I want to share for a brief time from the topic, "This is what I know, God is for me." This is what I know, God is for me. It says, "Be merciful unto me, O God." Psalm 56, verse 1 through 13. "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He, fighting daily, oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Father, in the name of Jesus, I give praises, I magnify and exalt your name. God, I thank you because this is the day that you have made, and God, I have chosen to rejoice and be glad in it. And even as I stand before you, O God, I thank you for this opportunity that you have afforded me to share your word. I pray, Lord God, that as your word goes forth, it goes forth unhindered and unchecked by any demonic force. And God, that it would accomplish exactly what you set it out to. I pray, God, that each person here would receive exactly what you have for them. And God, that your word would land on good soil, bring forth fruit in abundance, and the fruit remain. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. Amen. So, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever and ever and ever. And, you know, one of the things that I often say is that I'm not asking you whether you agree with me when I say that. It's not a debate. I'm not asking for your opinion. I'm saying, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. So we're not having a discussion on that. He is good. Amen. And so because he is good, I'm just excited that I get an opportunity to lift up the name of the Lord and to declare his goodness in the earth, because he is good. So it doesn't matter what anyone says, God is good. And so I am honored. My respect to you, Pastor Delson. Thank you, sir, as usual, for the opportunity to be able to share the word. And Lady Patricia, haven't seen you for a bit, but blessings. And so, as I said, I want to share from the topic, "This is what I know, God is for me." And one of my favorite personalities in scripture is David. I love David. I've heard a lot of messages about David. I've preached messages about David. But there's something about David that somehow always draws me back to him. And it isn't only the fact that he's been called a great king, or he is a great warrior, or he's a psalmist, or one of the things that the Bible says about him is the fact that he was a man after God's own heart. But the thing that seemed to draw me to him is the fact that he was not without flaws. In other words, he was, in spite of all the great accolades that was placed upon him, he still was flawed. And when we look at our text drops us in the middle of his flaws. In other words, when we look at David, we find where at one end of the flawed spectrum, he was not a very good father. At the other end of the spectrum, he was a murderer, committed first-degree murder. But our text drops us in the middle of his issues. And when we look at Psalm 56, as well as Psalm 34, we find that those particular scriptures came out of an experience that David was having. 1 Samuel chapter 21 talks about the fact that David was in Gath and he had an issue, and as a result, he made a decision to go there in and of himself. He had his own plan, he devised his own plan, and that's what he followed. And that is where we get our text. And so this is what I know. God is for me. I may not know how man is able to go to the moon. I may not know how he's able to go there and come back. I may not know how an airplane is able to stay in the air and fight or resist the force of gravity. I may not know that. But what I know is God is for me. I may not know, glory be to the name of God, how a neurologist, and all of these are awesome things. Praise God if you're a neurologist and you could do, awesome. I may not know how you're able to do your job, but what I do know is God is for me. Amen. And it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks. I know he's for me. It doesn't matter what the situation looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. This is what I know. He's for me. I have this strong conviction. I have this belief that he's for me. I don't know about you, but what I know is God is for me. And that's my testimony. What is yours? What is yours? Because as you go through the rest of this year, and as you go into next year, this is the end of the year. You know, we make New Year's resolution. I'm going to go in the gym. I'm going to lose 100 pounds. You know, we make all these resolutions. And the world will tell us, you know what? You need to have this. You need to have this gadget. You need to do this. You need to have this appliance. You need to have this. But as kingdom citizens, this is what we ought to know, that God is for us. Because we're not caught up in what the world thinks. The world can't dictate to us what we ought to know. But this is what we know. God is for us. Oh, glory be to the name of God. I can't speak for you, but what I, Dita Odessa Miller, knows is that God is for me. Glory be to the name of God. So when we look at our text, we find where the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 21 that David had made a decision that he was going down into Gath. And you know, Gath was that Philistine territory where Goliath was from. And David made the decision. He said, I'm going there because he was fearful that Saul was going to kill him. And so he made the decision, I'm going to go there. And so he went there. And when he went there, the Bible says that the king's officers recognized who he was and said, isn't this the one that the people sang about? Isn't this the one where they said Saul killed his thousands and David killed his tens of thousands? Isn't this the one? And David, the Bible says, when they recognized him, he became fearful. And the Bible says he pretended to be a madman. And in his pretense, the Bible says that when he was presented before the king said, we have enough madmen here in this kingdom. We don't need another one. And so they let David go. But when they let him go, the Bible says that he left Gath and he went straight into the caves where he wrote our text. That's where he wrote the text. And that's where I got the topic. This is what I know. God is for me. And so when we look at the text, we're able to pull some things out of the life of David. We're able to recognize some things about him that we can apply to our lives. And one of the things that I want you to draw your attention to is the fact that the Bible says that the steps of the righteous man are ordered by God. When we look at David, one of the things we find in this particular situation was that he was not led by God. He was led by fear. He was not, the Bible says, he, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so David was led not by the fact that God was leading him, or not by faith, but he was led by fear. The Bible says that even when he went into Nob, and Nob is the city of the priests, the Bible says he ran there because he was fearful. Saul was trying to kill him. And he went there, and when he went there, he lied. How many said those little white ones? You know, he said to Saul, he said to the priest, you know, Saul sent me here on a special assignment. Give me some bread. Give me a weapon. And he lied. Because sometimes fear will cause us to do things that we wouldn't ordinarily do. You know, when you find yourself in a situation, you find yourself in that place where your back is up against the wall, and fear will cause you to do things you wouldn't ordinarily do. And so David lied and said, the king sent me on a special assignment. And as a result of that lie, the Bible says that when King Saul heard that David was there, he went there and he destroyed the city of Nob. He killed the priests, their family. He destroyed the livestock. He destroyed all, because fear will cost us something. Reinhard Bonnke said, any decision we make out of fear will end badly. Anything we decide to do based on fear will end badly. So David made the decision, I'm going to go down to Nob. I'm going to get away from Saul, and I'm going to be in a better place. No, but he wasn't. When he left Nob, still being led of his own understanding, he decided, I'm going to go down into Gath. That's the place where Goliath was from. That's the place now he's going into Gath, and he has the sword that he used to kill Goliath with. And he goes into Gath, and when he's there, he's wondering, how is it that the people recognize him? He has the sword, but he's wondering, how is it? And so it amazed me as I was prepping. I'm wondering, here it is. You have this mark in your hand of the faithfulness of God. You have this mark in your hand of when you need God, he showed up. You have this mark of the sword that you used. You didn't have a sword when you went into battle, but you prophesied and you said, this day I'm going to chop off your head. And he used Goliath's sword to kill Goliath. He has the very sword in his hand, but he's still walking in fear. How many times we have the word of God in us? We come to church, we hear the word. We have the songs on. We have it all going on around us. And yet still fear comes knocking at our door. And instead of allowing faith to answer the door, we walk in fear. That's what he did. He had the word. He had the promise. He had the actions, just a pass, a marker, if you would, of what God had done in the past. And if God did it once, he'll do it again. I believe in the law that a first, if there's a first, there'll be a second, there'll be a third, a fourth, a fifth, and a... And so David now has the sword in his hand, and he goes down to Gath. And he went there because, once again, he's going based on his own understanding. And he's saying, you know what? Of all the territories in this area, Gath was the only territory that did not have an amicable relationship with Saul. In other words, all of the nations in that area they were friendly to Saul. And David concluded, if I go into any of these other cities, if Saul come looking for me, they're going to turn me over to Saul. And so off his own understanding, he jumps from the port into the fire, and he goes down into Gath. And when he goes there, he finds himself in trouble. Because any decision made out of fear will end badly. And so he goes down there, and the Bible says that they recognize him, and he had to pretend to be a madman. Pretend. Here it is, this great champion killed Goliath, now have to pretend he's mad, has to pretend. The king, I don't need him. What are we going to do with him? He's mad, this great king. That's what fear would do. Fear will treat you just like its master will. Because the Bible says that the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's what fear will do. Fear ain't care nothing but us. But it's out to destroy us. And the Bible says that when David was presented before the king said, I don't need him here. send them away. But when we look in scripture, the Bible tells us of the 12 spies, you know, and I love this story. It's sad, but I love it. In Numbers 12, 13, 14, it talks about the Israelites, the 12 spies. Moses sent them down into Canaan, go spy out the land. And they went there and they came back after spying it out for 40 days. Man, this land is ripe. It's flowing with milk and honey. This is the place. Come back with their grapes, two carrying it on a stick. And they like, this is a great place. Yeah, this awesome. Fertile land, yeah, flourishing. But, got to get rid of the buts. So they said, but we are as grasshoppers in our own eyes. And I always find this so amazing. They said, we are as grasshoppers in our own eyes. They didn't have a conversation with the Canaanites. They didn't have no conversation. They just decided we can't fight them. We can't win. We can't do anything because of fear. And the Bible says that they, because of that, the whole camp got into a fritzy. And they decided, well, let's go back. We can't do anything. And fear overtook the camp. And the Lord said to them, because of your attitude, just how you wandered around in Canaan for 40 days, you will now wander in the wilderness for 40 years. I'm talking about the fact that fear will cost you. It cost them their inheritance. It cost that generation their inheritance. And I find it so amazing that in Joshua 2:9, the Bible says that when the two spies that Joshua sent out went to Rahab, the Bible says Rahab said, I know who you are. I know about you. I know the Lord has given you this land. I know this land belongs to you, and your terror has fallen upon us. And we faint, all of the inhabitants of the earth, of the land faint before you. Rahab is saying, hey, I be afraid of you. And that was the same perception they had of them in the first generation. But because of the distortion of what they saw, we are as grasshoppers. They never got to walk in that in the inheritance that God had for them. That made sense? And so one of the things then that is so important is we need to recognize that fear will distort what we see. It will distort. I remember earlier this year, I was in the bank. I got this call. I missed the call, so it went to voicemail. And while in the bank, I just said, okay, let me check and see what the call was. And when I checked the recording, it said, this is a call from Canada Revenue Services. And wait, y'all seem like y'all don't know my story. But anyway, so they said, this is a call from Canada Revenue Services, and a criminal warrant has been issued for your arrest. How many of you all know this mighty woman of God went down in the bank and began, Harababo Shiandalaba? No, I was so scared. Because see, I know nothing but this. I just come here, I don't know what's going on. And so I'm in the bank and I am like, oh God, I'm telling you, I didn't think about God. I didn't think about God. I didn't think about no scripture. All I thought about was what my church people could say when I get deported. All I thought about was what my neighbors could say when the police come and pick me up at the door. My mind was going with everything but the word of God. And so I called them back and I said, what's going on? And they explained to me, our records show that you've attempted to defraud the government and you owe $4,000 in tax and in refunds or taxes or what have you. And I was like, but how could this be? I went to H&R Block and we're not responsible if you go to a secondary. I'm telling you, this thing sounded so legit. We're not responsible if you go to a secondary agency. You are responsible. And if you don't pay this money today, a warrant will be issued for your release. And I'm thinking, oh God, I'm going to be deported. And so as I'm going through this with them, they said, you hang up the phone, it would be seen as an indication that you are deliberately attempting to avoid payment. And so, as you know, I don't drive. And so I'm up there at Royal Bank on Willowbrook Drive. And they said to me, go, you have to go to ICBC. ICBC, yeah? Go there and find whatever document. And they're on the phone with me. If you hang up, criminal warrant, and all I'm hearing is you're going to be arrested, you're going to be arrested. And look at me, I look like a law-abiding citizen, right? Let me see who say no. But so they're on the phone with me, and I'm walking with them on the phone because I'm walking. So I walk from the Royal Bank to ICBC. They didn't have whatever form this is they're talking about. And I'm telling you, I have not thought about God once. Then they tell me, okay, go across the Shoppers and get the same amount of dollar value in terms of the cards. Now, young people, I don't know, I promise you, I am a little bit more knowledgeable now. But I didn't know anything but no iTunes cards, right? So I went over there and they say, get these cards. And so I went and I'm standing up. And don't forget, I'm walking. And they're on the phone with me. I'm checking it out. And I'm looking at these cards. And I said, this don't make no sense. You know, I'm reading the back of it. And I was like, anyway. And I said to the person on the phone, I was like, but this don't make no sense. Why would I need to use a card, the government use card? And the person was like, don't speak to me. You said no, you wanted privacy. Oh, now I'm mad. Right? And so I got what they wanted, but now I'm getting angry. And so there was a person being served at the cashier. And so now I'm still before God. Now I am literally not moving around. I'm not doing anything. I'm still, and I'm able to talk and check myself and say, Dita, you have no peace. Literally, this is you. There's no peace. You're rushed. That's how I started talking to myself. And I said, let the peace of God rule in your heart like an empire. There's no peace. There's no peace. And there's no peace. So now God was no longer whispering to me. He had to shout. Dita, he had to shout because I wasn't hearing him. And now I'm standing before, waiting to go be served, and I'm having questions. Got to the cashier, and I asked, what are these for? They said to play music. Play music? And so I said, you know what, if I get these, will I be able to get a refund? No. That. I said, cancel whatever it is, that's it. So I spoke to the person on the phone. I said, sir, I won't be doing what you asked me to do. And so they said, oh, no, they wasn't getting my money. So I said, sir, I won't be doing what you asked me to do. And they said, okay, fine. A warrant is issued for your release. I said, okay, I'll present myself to the local authority. I went outside and I said, oh, my God, what did I just do? What did I just do? I got scared again. What did I just do? Called my a lady the Lord brought in my life. I told her the whole story. She said, oh, Dita, that's a scam. That's a scam? But I was happy. So she said, call the police and tell the police just so they could have a record, blah, blah, blah. I called the police, and the police told me, yeah, that's a scam, been around for whatever amount of years, and so forth, so forth. I could not stop blessing that police just to have the confirmation because I wasn't going back to my house for no police to pick me up. You understand? So I stayed out until the police confirmed it's okay, it's a scam. And I want you to know, though, that when we are in fear, it will cause us to make bad decisions. And those decisions would cost you. It almost cost me $4,000, which I didn't have. Not to throw away. you understand? But bad decisions will cost us. And so when the enemy comes knocking at our doors, and one of the things what I like about God is the Bible says, if you look through scripture, sin not is stated in scripture like 365 times. Now, what do you think that means? 300 every day there will be opportunities for us to fail, and every day we ought to make a decision. I am going to trust in the Lord. I am going to believe the Lord. The Bible says, fear not, for I am with you. It did not say, fear not, the commissioner of police is with you. It did not say, fear not, the prime minister is with you. It says, fear not, I am with you. I'm talking about the fact that you need to know who is for you. You need to know that God is for you. This isn't just anybody. This is the creator of the universe who's saying, I am for you. This is what I know, people. I may not know much. I may not be the most eloquent person in the room. I might not be the Einstein in the room. But what I do know, God is for me. So that's the revelation that I have. And if God be for me, who can be against me? If God be for me, what situations around me can disrupt me? If I am fully persuaded, he's for me. Amen. It doesn't matter what it might look like, and it doesn't matter what it might appear to be. If God be for me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm talking about the fact that this is what I know. I know that he is for me. When we look in the scripture, the Bible says in Micah, it says, don't gloat over me, my enemy, that I have fallen. I shall arise. When we look in the text, the Bible says David cried unto the Lord. David got to that place where he recognized that his fellowship was broken. And he cried. He because before he was doing stuff independently of God, so he went back to God. He cried unto the Lord. He didn't just, you know, because when we look, the Bible says that he was sent out of Gath, and he went, and like I said, he didn't go out celebrating. Oh, I just pulled one off on them, and you know, I deserve an Oscar because I did such a good job. He didn't do any of that. The Bible says he went into the cave, and he cried unto the Lord. And I'm convinced that there was some sense of guilt there, because in 1 Samuel 22, it talks about how one person was saved out of Nob, and that person went and told David what had happened. And David said, come and hang out with me. He felt responsible for what had happened. You know, so even as he was going through, there was a sense of guilt that brought him to the place of repentance. And sometimes when we go through things and we mess up on God, instead of running to God, sometimes people tend to run away from God, you know, and feel as if God isn't for, you know, God isn't, you know, how are you going to face God? But the Bible says there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive. David recognized, I could run back to God. When you know that God is for you, you can run back to him. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter where you have been. We can run back to God with the assurance, with the confidence, God is for me. And he is no respecter of persons. He will, just how he forgave this one, he'll forgive me. You know, and sometimes people might feel like, you know what, they really should be condemned longer. You know, how is it that they're able to just deal with, be forgiven, and they did such a bad thing. And you know, people would feel, you know, you're not dealing with it long enough. But with God, we don't have to be the prodigal son that went down and lose everything. The minute we mess up on God, we can repent right there and move on. That our relationship doesn't have to be broken for days and days and months and months. No, the minute we get revelation that we have messed up, fallen short, we have sinned, we can repent and move on. That's it. That is awesome to me. And the Bible says that David cried unto the Lord. He didn't cry unto the pastor. Pastor, I have so much needs going. No, the Bible says he cried unto the Lord. He didn't cry unto Samuel. Samuel, you anointed me king, and look what is happening to my life. No, no, no. He cried unto the Lord. He cried unto the one who could help him. He didn't cry unto, you know, the Bible talks about the fervent prayer of the righteous man availing much. It avails much. And he cried unto the Lord. He didn't just, you know, whatever will be, sarah, sarah. No, he cried unto the Lord. And one of the things is when we look in scripture, you know, the Bible talks about Peter and how when Peter was placed in prison, the Bible says that there were some people praying in the house, some church members praying in the house somewhere, that God would bring deliverance because Herod wanted to kill him. You know, he had killed James, and now he wanted to remain favorable to the Jews, to the Jewish people. And so he had planned to kill Peter, but the fervent prayer of the righteous. And so the Bible says that they were praying, and then they were set free. Bible talks about Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat said, I don't know what to do. All of these things are going on. These armies is coming against me. I don't know what to do. But what I like is that the Bible says, he prayed. He turned to God. You know, when we don't know what to do, we do what we have always done. We pray, we praise, we trust God. That's what we do. He said, Jehoshaphat said, I don't know what to do. But the Bible says that he turned to and he prayed and he said, the Bible says he called a fast. He called a fast and the battle became the Lord's. Because when we don't know what to do, and sometimes we try to figure it out and work it out ourselves, we mess it up, right? But the Bible says that he cried unto the Lord, or Jehoshaphat, he turned to the Lord. The Lord showed, gave him a plan and put the singers in the front, blah, blah, blah. But the battle is the Lord's. It is the Lord's. I'm telling you, this is what I know. The battle is the Lord's. This is what I know. He's a miracle worker. This is what I know. Glory be to the name of God. He's my God. I may not know much, but I know my God. I may not know a lot, but I know my God. We're getting ready to go into the end of this year. A couple weeks from here will be a new year. Who's going to guide us? What is going to guide us in the next couple of weeks? What's going to guide us in the new year? News media, CNN, MSNBC, Parliament, Ottawa. Who's going to guide us? Because the steps of the righteous man ordered by God. They're ordered by God. And so we ought to know, I'm telling you, we ought to be so convinced. We ought to have such a revelation. Just like you know you're born again, you need to have the revelation, God is for me. I don't care if it looks bad. They that trust in the Lord will not be disappointed, confounded, or ashamed. God is for me. This is what I know, people. I don't care what the lawyers say. I don't care what the doctors say. This is what I know. God is for me. David pretended to be a crazy man. But God was merciful. When he cried unto the Lord, God was merciful. And I found myself as I was prepping, I was like, what would have happened if they had killed David there in Gath and God was not merciful to David? Because I'm convinced he was out of the will of God. He didn't get directions from God. He did what he felt he needed to do based on his own understanding. And I began to wonder, this was the lineage through which Jesus was to come. David was that lineage. And David was he wrote all these psalms. And what would have happened if David had died? But no one can kill what God wants alive. No one can kill what he wants alive. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And once you know, like you know, like you know, like you know, he's for you. And you know the character of the one who is for you, you'll be able to stand and say, no one can kill this. No one can kill me. No one can kill. I am in the plan of God. I'm in the will of God. This is God. We can do that. This is what I know. God is for me. And so I wanna share this with you. Let me share this little quick story with you and then I'll share it in. A number of years, when I first came to Canada, some of you would have heard this already. But when I first came to Canada, I had an interview in Merritt. That's way out. And when I first came, remember, some of you would know, God did a work for me. I came from the East Coast to the West Coast with $100, and the Lord worked it out, and I stayed 3 months in a house I didn't have to do. Anyway, a long story. So all I had was $100, and I'm going for this interview all the way out to Merritt. And I remember when I was going, I was a person kind of who had a need for speed, you know. And I'm convinced if I had the ability to drive stick, I probably would get a ticket every time because I just love that. But anyway, that's a whole different story. I needed deliverance. But so I'm driving and I remember, I'm telling you, I remember the Lord talking to me and saying, stop speeding. I was making like 150. Right? And I remember, I'm telling you, I remember stop speeding. And I saw the police and I was able to slow down in time. That's when I was going. When I was coming back, still having this need for speed. I'm speeding right up there again, round 150. And that police waved me down like a crazy man. You know, like crazy, crazy, crazy. And I pull up. I ended up way down there to stop because I was speeding. I couldn't stop. I had to, and then come back. When he came to me, I started, oh, shandalabaki, surandalabaki. I started praying. I'm talking about praying fervently and calling on the God who you know. I this is my God. I don't know what God you're, this is my God. So I call on him. So I'm there, and when he came, when he came to me, and he, you know, he kind of rebuked me and talked a little rough, but respectful. You know, you're speeding, you're making this, you get in an accident, you die, da-da-da-da-da-da. Give me a license registration, we're going to impound the car. Well, when I heard that, I only had $100. So you can't impound the car. So I held to the wheel and said, I said, no, you can't take it. This a rental. He said, I don't care. It's going to cost you $1,500 per week. I had $100. It's going to cost you over $1,500 a week. And we're going to, of course, charge you for the gift ticket. When he went look at my information, I was like, oh God, I have sinned. I went, oh King James, oh God, I have sinned. Forgive me, I repent. God, have mercy upon me. I'm talking about, I cry out to God because I know God. I don't have to sit there and take anything. I ask for mercy. I ask for God, help me. And so when the person came back, he's still scolding me. And he said, you know what, we're not going to impound the car. I said, ha, Rabosha, thank you, Jesus. We're not going to impound the car, but we're going to give you a ticket. I said, I'll take the ticket. The ticket was $200, $200, $1,500. I took that. But I remember driving off and saying, God, I thank you for being my God. Because he answered my prayer. That police officer didn't know what I was doing. He didn't know how I was. Oh, Rabba, Shianda, help me, Jesus. Favor, favor. And he gave me a ticket, and it taught me a lesson. Slow down. You know, like I got that lesson, and so I've been cautious and careful in future since then to be a little more safe on the road. You know, but it goes to show we can talk to this God. This is who I know. He's for me. Even when it doesn't look like it should be for me. Because I break the law. Come on. I'm making 150. The car should have been impounded. I should have gotten the ticket as well. But I know who is for me. Amen. And I cried unto him, and he heard my cry. And he gave me favor. So this is what I know. So some people would look at him and say, some call him Redeemer. Some call him whatever they are to he is to them. But I want to share this with you and think about who your God is. Some say he's wonderful. Some say he's counselor, prince of peace, eternal rock of ages, king of glory, mighty God, king of kings, lord of lords, lord of hosts. He's the lily of the valley. He's the healer. He's deliverer, provider, creator, porter. He's the day star. He's the cornerstone. Glory be to God. He's the prophet of prophets. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He's Savior. I am that I am. He's the wisdom of God. He's the head of the church. He's governor, righteous judge, protector, rock of offense. He's shield. He's merciful, gracious, faithful God, giver, victorious in holiness, consuming fire, El Elyon, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. He's Jehovah Roha, the Lord my shepherd. He's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He's Jehovah El Jabor, mighty Haramamo Shondororobo. He's the mighty God. He's Jehovah Shema. He's Jehovah Shalom. He is El Olam. He is Yeramamo, everlasting God. He's defender, redeemer. He is comforter, trinity, and counsel. Instructor, teacher, inspirer, reminder, invisible God. My God, this is what I know, glory to God. This God is for me. My God, Lion of the tribe of Judah, Root of Jesse, Man of War, Lamb of God, He's Sustainer, Convincer, Light of the World, He's Restorer, silencer, stiller of storms. Proclaim a father of the fatherless, husband of the widow. I'm talking about the fact that this is what I know. This God is for me. Ah, glory be to God. He is the way, the truth, the life. He's the bread of life. He's the bread of winner. He's the champion of champions. He's the winner of winners. He's composer, order, finisher. Glorious in holiness. Fearful in praises. Sleepless God. You know, there's no need for you to be up at night. Glory be to God. He's up. He's the sleepless God. Ancient of days, ageless God, eternal God, excellent God, powerful God, leader of leaders, chief inventor. Ah, he's the convener, he's the compassionate God. He's commander in chief of the heavenly host. Worthy is the King of kings, harababo shandarada, overseer, molder, shaper, breaker, praiseworthy God, helper, richer than the richest, older than the oldest. Trustworthy God, arranger, master builder, master planner, masterminder, arrester, relentless God, voice of hope, beautiful God, Alpha and Omega, he's the game changer. Glory be to God, he's our refuge, our fortress, our buckler, our banner. He's a strong tower, unchanging changer. Rose of Sharon, all in all, he's the pillar of our lives. The firstborn lamb that was slain. The glory and the lifter of our heads. I'm talking about the fact that this is what I know. This God is for me. Glory to God. When you think about all that he is, this is what I know. Why is it that we are disturbed? And why are we confused? And why are we... No. This is what I know. God is for me. He's the glory and the lifter of our heads. The word of God, our advocate, our high priest, bishop of our souls, high and lofty one, almighty, our best friend. He's an on-time God. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, consuming fire, Adonai. That's who he is. The beginning and the end, the living water, unquenchable fire, awesome God. I salute your excellence, Baba. Battle stopper, unquenchable God. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. Mighty one in battle, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise. Mighty man of valor, miracle worker, that's who he is. Rock of ages, merciful God, advocate, always doing wonders. Amen and hallelujah. Answer to prayers, intercessor, interceptor, balm of Gideon, of Gilead, I'm sorry, Baal Perazim, the God of the breakthrough. There is no one like my God. I can't testify for you and I can't speak for you, but this is what I know. Oh, taste and see that God is good. Glory be to the name of God. I can't tell you about who God is to you. But oh, taste and see that my God, the God that I serve, is indeed good. And God, I reverence you this day because you are truly God. There is no God like Jehovah. There is none mighty in battle like you. There is none mighty to save like you. And God, this is what I know. Ah, you are for your people, O God. And we honor the name of the Lord. We honor you today, O God, because this is what we know. Ah, God, you are for us. You might be here today and you don't know this God. You can't. Dita, I don't know this God that you're talking about. I don't know him. Who is he? You don't know him. I want to introduce you to him today.